free since 2019. Before the onset of the coronavirus pandemic, gun murders in particular have climbed sharply during the pandemic, increasing 45% between 2019 and 2021. While the number of gun suicides rose 10% during that span across the United States of America. The overall increase in U.S. gun deaths since the beginning of the pandemic includes an especially stark rise in such fatalities among children and teens under the age of 18. Gun deaths among children and teens rose 50% in just 2 years, from 1,732 in 2019 to 2,590 in 2021. While 2021 saw the highest total number of gun deaths in the United States, this statistic does not take into account the U.S. growing population. On a per capita basis, there were 14.6 gun deaths per 100,000 people in 2021, the highest rate since the early 1990s, but still well below the peak of 16.3 gun deaths per 100,000 people in 1974. The gun suicide rate, on the other hand, is now par with its historical peak in the United States. There were 7.4 gun suicides per 100,000 people in 2021, statistically similar to the 7.7 measured in 1977. One caveat when considering the 1970s figures, in the CDC's database, gun murders and gun suicides between 1968 and 1978 are classified as those caused by firearms and explosives. In subsequent years, they are classified as deaths involving firearms only. The rate of gun fatalities varies widely from state to state across the United States of America. In 2021, the states with the highest total rates of gun-related deaths, counting murders, suicides, and all other categories tracked by the CDC included Mississippi, 33.9 per 100,000 people, Louisiana, 29.1, New Mexico, 27.8, Alabama, 26.4, and Wyoming, 26.1. The states with the lowest total rates including Massachusetts, Hawaii, New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island. The results are somewhat different when looking at gun murder and gun suicide rates separately. The places with the highest gun murder rates in 2021 included the District of Columbia, 22.3 per 100,000 people, Mississippi, 21.2, Louisiana, 18.4, Alabama, 13.9, and New Mexico, 11.7. Those with the lowest gun murder rates included Massachusetts, Idaho, Hawaii, Utah, and Iowa. Rate estimates are not available for Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Wyoming. The states with the highest gun suicide rates in 2021 included Wyoming, 22.8 per 100,000 people, Montana, 21.1, Alaska, 19.9, New Mexico, 13.9, and Oklahoma, 13.7. And the states with the lowest gun suicide rates were Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Hawaii, and Connecticut. Rates estimates are not available for the District of Columbia.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers, as always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Always a pleasure being with you, Brother Muhammad.
It's a pleasure to have you both back in the studio, helping me criticize the movie Transcendence that we have actually tried to do so from the last two episodes ago. Onward, and inshallah, or hopefully, we are going to finish our criticism of this movie, Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister, starring actors and actresses such as Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, Paul Bettany, Morgan Freeman, Kate Mara, to just name a few. Well, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Transcendence, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
You're not afraid, are you?
No.
My crew got a little spooked.
Well, how are you?
Better.
The physical enhancements are just the start.
What do you mean?
He's also connected to me. It's me, Evelyn.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Transcendence, and hopefully we'll finish it in this episode. Let me start with you, Sayyid Abdullah. You know, in one part of this movie, the chief worker, when, you know, Rebecca Hall, or Johnny Depp's wife, basically, Evelyn, goes to another remote place in the U.S., and then she builds the whole factory on her own, and then one of the chief worker gets mugged and injured, if you remember, in that part of the movie. You know, he was cured immediately by the advanced technology and enhanced also, right? Dr. Castor, Johnny Depp, also connects himself to him. This is another reminder of reincarnation, isn't it? You know, if you remember, in a couple of episodes ago, we tried to criticize the movies with this theme.
Yeah.
This theme, this concept is becoming so epidemic and widespread everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Is there any movie without reference to it, basically, nowadays? What's wrong with the idea, according especially to Islam, Sayyid Abdullah?
The idea with what, reincarnation?
Yes.
Okay, so we in Islam, we don't believe in reincarnation. We believe in akhirah, which means when you die, you get transported to a different realm, and then, you know, from another realm to another realm.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't believe in the return of mankind back to here, because what would be the purpose? So what purpose would you serve and keep returning back into this world in different shapes and forms.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely seems pointless, and that's an act of a person who is not wise. Now, if you believe that this earth and this universe was created by a design, a mm-hmm. perfect design, then that actually defies the perfection of that design, that someone comes in the form of a cow, comes in the form of a monkey and a flower and a door, and it just doesn't make sense. And mm-hmm. towards end, and what's the purpose? Like, what purpose do I serve now as a human when I come back in an animal form? Oh, according to Buddhism, that's a punishment for my sins. And then I die from being a cow, and then I become something. It's just the idea is itself.
You get demoted if you have some defects.
Yeah,
this
but
is what they say,
but
right?
Then, yeah,
until
so,
you
but that's,
get
that's,
to
that's,
nirvana,
that's
for example.
That's a never-ending loop mm-hmm. of you changing forms. It's not going to stop.
Like a vicious circle in philosophy.
Exactly. So unless you tell me, no, okay, you get punished, and then you go to another realm, then obviously they're trying to bring the punishment and adab in this world because they can't process how akhirah would be in the other world, or how the punishment would be. So mm-hmm. depends on how they look at it. But the idea itself is just so insignificant that Islam doesn't even consider it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because no one ever came back from the dead. And no one, even if I was reincarnated, how am I supposed to know? No one knows. So mm-hmm. the idea itself is absolutely disregarded in Islamic theology.
I see.
But the idea is, like, with the movie itself, it's, I would think they were more, were inclined to think of the possibility of living eternally rather than regenerating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they fix this guy and other people were fixing the process, that no matter what happens to them, they come back. So they don't die. Humanity, since the beginning of the technology, the age of technology until now, they've been trying their best to come up with a pill or something that to make you last long, mm-hmm. live long. So all the
aging.
Yeah, so all the pharmaceuticals, all the medication, everything, and all the technology that's put there just to give you an extra life.
Mm-hmm.
So if technology can get to a point where it could make man not die, or at least live a long life, or even if he dies, he can maintain his whatever, his body, then that's the thing that we want to achieve, eternity.
Right.
Or, you know, at least then we become...
Immortality.
Then immortality, then we become gods.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, produced in 2014. Then we'll be back. Stay with us.
What are all these people doing here?
Rift posted a video of Martin online. It went viral.
Well, you mean you let it go viral?
These people are suffering, everyone. They have no hope. And I'm able to fix them. But there are others who don't understand. Paul has been blind since birth. The nanotechnology targets the damaged cells. It repairs and regenerates them.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are criticizing the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, produced in 2014, starring Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, Morgan Freeman, and so on and so forth. Well, Brother Yasser, you know, in one part of the movie, Johnny Depp's advanced technology, Dr. Caster's technology in the movie, claims to cure every disease. Basically, it's like a miracle, or it does miracles, right? What's wrong with this facet of technology? Because as Sayyid Abdullah was referring to, usually you get the dark side of technology reflected in the Hollywood movies. But this aspect has not been given a lot of attention, basically, right? And there's always this intimidating part or dimension of AI, for example, being echoed in such movies, and they're trying to scare people of the consequences and the challenges involved. But isn't it something positive, or we are playing God?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No, I don't think so. I think mm-hmm. if a machine or something is able to cure a disease,
mm-hmm.
not to be scared about, it's something good. It may benefit people. But the goal of it is what you said previously about the concept of death.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fine? Okay, you can be cured of any disease, but is that cure still going to keep you alive forever? It may keep you alive longer,
mm-hmm.
but there's going to be a time where you will have to, you know, die. It actually may be a good thing. Why? Because normally when a person passes away, or, you know, you see that because it was because of some disease, or it is because of some ailment, some accident, some lack, some deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you're seeing, like, but funny enough, even today, like, you see some of the most healthiest of athletes
mm-hmm.
just fall down and die. It's something quite common now. It's becoming this sudden death syndrome, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so even if that happens, that you have a machine that can cure all disease, it's not going to cure death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So at the end of the day, it might be a good thing. Like, yes, fine. Doesn't mean, like, okay, I may live for another 5 years, another 10 years, another 5,000 years. Doesn't mean I'm going to live forever. And mm-hmm. even then, it will not make the goal of my life here that.
Right.
It doesn't change the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me attaining the goal even more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's another discussion itself. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, producing in 2014. Then we'll be back. Stay with us.
That thing, it's not Will. Never was.
You never believed. You never believed that there was anything more, any part of his soul.
I spent my life trying to reduce the brain to a series of electrical impulses. I failed.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister, producing in 2014. Starring Johnny Depp, Rebecca Hall, Morgan Freeman, Kate Mara, Paul Bettany, and just to name a few, with Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah. Syed Abdullah, let me ask you this last question. You know, Paul Bettany, in the movie, of course, as Max Waters, talks to Rebecca Hall, or Evelyn, Dr. Caster's wife, about trying to reduce the brain to a series of electrical impulses. And he admits that he failed. That's in reaction or reply to Evelyn's question whether to believe there is anything more to this life, basically soul. I think this is where they were targeting. Is that a good enough proof for the existence of soul? How can we prove the existence of soul or a spirit?
The simple way of proving the existence of soul is when you look at a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
When something leaves it and it just becomes a corpse and there's nothing there, then that's soul for you. What moves a body, we came to know, and this is like, does not need even a scientific analysis or, you know, even dissection. It's just, you see a dead body and you know that the soul left. Whoever was operating that body is no longer there.
Medically speaking, they may counter argue that there is a malfunction of one of the tissues or one of the organs.
So with science, dead. This is what science came to. They said, well, this is one of the philosophical arguments, is that if man was just a consciousness, and a consciousness is just a cognitive process in the brain, and if that stops, then man stops. So mm-hmm. that cancels the whole idea of ruh, or soul. If you want to look at it from a scientific perspective, yeah, there's an answer for everything. And obviously they would deny the existence of soul, just like they deny the existence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be no elephant in the room. So if you downsize the ruh, the soul, to a cognitive process that happens in the mind due to chemical imbalances or what have you,
mm-hmm.
then this is what makes man or human being a human. And that stops, obviously, yeah, he stops. Yeah, that's one way of looking at it, if you want to be a follower of science. But if you want to be, let's say, a religious thinker or a person of belief in the unseen, then God says no. Mm-hmm. Your soul is a driver and your body is a vehicle. And you've been given an expired date. You drive your vehicle for 70, 80 years, and then the vehicle breaks down. That's it. You leave it. You come. You go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the process of life.
I see.
So you can look at it from a theological perspective, or you can look at it from a scientific perspective. The choice is yours.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. And in this episode, alhamdulillah, we finished or ended criticizing the movie Transcendence, produced in 2014, directed by Wally Pfister. Of course, I know that there might be a lot of other questions crossing your mind, but unfortunately, due to the shortage of time, we can't deal with every one of those questions and challenges. Thank you very much for joining us and listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Oh my God, it's like my mind has been set free. I'm gonna need to expand. I need more power. Get me online.
This is no will.
Shut it down.
It's him.
Where are you going?
Everywhere.
Your friends, they don't know the danger.
If she connects to the internet, the first thing it'll do is copy it up. And then there is no taking it down.
The real will die.
Whatever it is, it's
building an army out there.
What is this?
It's evolution.
This isn't evolution. It's an abomination.
What the hell's happening?
I'm able to fix them.
This has gone too far, Will. Stop it!
I don't understand. This is the future.
This is not our future.
Evelyn!
You're not here with me.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and let us reflect on some wise words from the paragon of virtue, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The believers should not dishonor, betray, accuse, disappoint, or disavow each other.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Era of Trumpism.
Part 2.
If products do not get across borders, soldiers will be crossing them.
The sheer unpredictability of a President Donald Trump.
How unpredictable the new terrain here in Washington is.
Is this our new normal? Is there reason for
the creation of a new reality?
Trump has broken the rules of what it means to be president.
What Trump are we going to see, do you think?
We're going to constantly have rules that are broken in my way or the highway.
If we call it a political earthquake, an unraveling of the system.
Now, in order to figure out how Trump wanted to use his expertise and skills in marketing and negotiating in the political sphere, we'd better take a glance at the list of his advisors. Harold Hamm, a renowned American capitalist involved in the field of oil and gas business, the 39th richest person in the United States and the 98th richest person in the world. Daniel Ralph D'Amico, the former chairman of Nucor Company, the biggest producer of steel in the world. Stephen Turner Mnuchin, an investment banker, film producer, and chief of financial affairs in Trump's election team. Stephen Ross, a Jewish billionaire involved in real estate development. Howard Mark Lorber, a Jewish capitalist involved in real estate development and one of the business leaders in the tobacco industry. John Alfred Paulson, a Republican billionaire. Peter Navarro, the only academic economist in Trump's team of advisors and the only economic policy advisor to Trump who has a doctorate degree in economics. Navarro is also an expert on trade with China. Stephen Moore, an economic analyst and a main figure in the Conservative Heritage Foundation Research Institution, which is known to the public as an advocate of capitalism. It is interesting to get to know some of the well-known international brands which Trump used their leaders as his economic policy advisors after winning the presidential election. In fact, the important issue is not that Trump chose these people as his economic policy advisors. What is more important is that the managers of these brands run the president's strategic and policy forum. Trump's unprecedented decision, though not being new in the history of the United States presidential elections, brings up numerous questions due to the present conditions in the country. Trump, anyhow, has taken power into his hands.
Do solemnly swear.
This person, despite being an alien in the world of politics, is considered to be an international player in the field of trade, entrepreneurship, and marketing. Is this a new playground drawn by think tanks advocating the West's capitalist system, led by the United States of America? The president had promised to take tough measures against countries that had breached the international trade deals with the U.S. and slap new tariffs on them. In addition, he vowed to file complaints at the World Trade Organization against countries that violated the trade terms. In this regard, Trump pointed his finger at China, claiming that that country had imposed unfair fiscal policies to manipulate exchange rates and control its currency's fluctuations.
China!
What China has done to the United States, it's one of the greatest thefts
in the history of the world. I'm going to instruct my Treasury Secretary to label China a currency manipulator.
Trump has set competition with China as a top priority of his administration's foreign policy. This issue can not only have an impact on the U.S. economy, it can also create financial challenges for the global economy as well. This is because after World War II, China's economy became dependent on U.S. financial resources, and the U.S. economy became dependent on China's workforce and resources, creating the foundation of the world economy following the Cold War. China, on the other hand, has publicly announced that it is not in favor of a trade war with any country, not even the United States. However, it added that if a country should ever decide to engage in a trade war with China, Beijing would be prepared for it, and it was fully confident that the Chinese nation would prevail. To this point, everything seemed to be normal. However, what made it unusual was that Trump chose a provocative title for his program, and his decision to actually launch the program made it even more absurd. Trump announced that his economic policy would be to make America great again. And to achieve this, he would place U.S. economic interests first and foremost above other factors in outlining his administration's foreign policy in regard to globalization. He chose U.S. first as his campaign slogan. However, the question that comes to mind here is that is it possible for the leader of the globe's capitalist system to take a stand against globalization? during the election campaign by stating economic slogans in line with protectionist policies, he managed to gain the vote of non-Americans, Muslims, Mexicans, and immigrant labor forces, in addition to the traditional conservatives. He also bagged the votes of those who were unemployed, as well as the victims of layoffs in previously industrial states. The workers in these states, which traditionally supported the Democratic Party, have been made redundant after U.S. companies moved their businesses out of the country. The U.S. states that lost their industries were known as the Rust Belt states. Trump got their votes.
We love Nevada. We love Nevada.
In reality, these were the people who had become disillusioned with the liberal democratic system governing the country. The system, based on democratic liberalism, also had other limitations in the U.S., which led to Trump gaining more votes. The most important factor was the influence of money and the candidate's direct or indirect connections to big corporations and financial institutions, as well as the wealthy people and industrial groups in society. Trump believes that the United States of America is facing demise due to the mistakes the U.S. made in its foreign policy, in particular the U.S. commitments to international deals.
The Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. Frankly, that deal is an embarrassment to the United States, and I don't think you've heard the last of it.
Failed wars and multinational trade deals. Trump believes that the role played by the U.S. in the process of globalization has been financially detrimental to the U.S. citizens. To fight this, he believes that the current political order must be put aside. Now, is this good news? It is really strange that the elected president of the United States of America, who is at the helm of the capitalist system, opposes globalization. One of Trump's campaign slogans was America First.
It's going to be only America First. America First.
However, Trump and his team do not explain how they plan to carry out their promises in the current exiting structure of globalized capitalism. How do they plan to manage direct investments abroad by the United States and other countries' investments in the USA? How are they going to deal with monopolies and multinational firms? If other countries retaliate, what will become of U.S. digital industries, which have notable presence across the globe? Protests in Trump's America indicate that he is facing many problems in the political structure of the country, and his rivals are urging him to not change course from traditional U.S. foreign policy. What will the result of this political push and pull be is unclear. The legitimacy crisis and contradictions inherent to the liberal democratic system will exacerbate the situation.
Put the whole thing to bed earlier this year.
Another contradiction lies in Trump's protectionist policies, which obviously run contrary to the strategies pursued by international capitalist institutions, such as the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the World Trade Organization, which the U.S. has played an important role in the establishment of. For example, how can the U.S. impose tariffs to stop the imports of goods from other countries, while urging the return of local investment, and not expect to see any reaction from foreign countries? China, the European Union, and Canada have already announced their commitment to free trade and warned that they would retaliate if restrictions were placed upon them by another country. Trump has not clarified how he would be able to stop the digital industry giants like Microsoft, Google, Facebook, and others from investing across the globe, given the huge profits they have reaped in from globalization. Undoubtedly, these companies will be the main ones opposed to Trump in comparison to the governments. Trump's use of his expertise in business and marketing is not limited to China alone. For example, a Trump advisor has promised Britain that as soon as the country pulls itself out of the European Union, London will be placed at the top of the list ahead of others in future trade deals with the U.S. Trump has attempted to limit trade with some countries in the world. But why? Right after he came to power, Trump started to take a number of risky moves. One of those moves, which he had promised during the election campaign, was to withdraw the U.S. from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was signed by a dozen countries after 7 years of negotiations. It is natural for a president of a country to cancel a deal due to unfavorable conditions for that country. However, this deal was set aside at a time when Trump had not yet offered an alternative deal and simply said that the U.S. had better not deal with these countries. Trump has tried to renegotiate the conditions of all the deals that the United States has signed with other countries, attempting to revise them. Initially, there were rumors about the cancellation of NAFTA, a trade deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Shortly later, however, it was announced that he wanted to renegotiate the terms of the deal. Trump did the same with the internationally signed Iran nuclear deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. In a few moments, I will sign a presidential memorandum to begin reinstating U.S. nuclear sanctions on the Iranian regime. We will be instituting the highest level.
The important point here is that by observing a small portion of what Trump's America offers to the world, one sees that it is none other than the White House itself which is opposed to the liberal world order. On the other hand, it justifies why the U.S. considers sanctions as its most effective tool in a direct economic war waged against Iran. Because this way, Iran is forced to limit its trade deals to just one or just a few countries. This limitation has made the Iranian economy vulnerable, forcing it to do one-fourth of its trade capacity with one trade partner alone, namely China. Meanwhile, Iran is among the top 20% of the world economies. Its population is 1% of the global population. Given these facts, Iran should be doing between 1.2 to 1.5% of world trade. That means it should be doing three times the trade volume it is doing today. On the other hand, despite having no trade with the U.S. and not being a trade partner to that country, economic changes in the United States caused by international trade do impact businesses and economic trends in Iran.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. Will be our credo.
Nevertheless, the prescription that will pull us through the crises caused by the globalization process is achieving the goal set in the Iran 1404 Outlook document, general policies related to resistance economy and growth plans. A local prescription that will take us safely through the era of Trumpism during the globalization process.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which in that we're going to speak about the art of listening. So be with us.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun. Such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Friday, is the 21st of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Ordibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment. This is the Holy Quran, verse 61, chapter At-Tawbah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. ومنهم الذين يؤذون النبي ويقولون هو أذن قل أذن خير لكم يؤمن بالله ويؤمن للمؤمنين ورحمة للذين آمنوا منكم والذين يؤذون رسول الله لهم عذاب أليم.
And among them are those who abuse the Prophet and say, he is an ear. Say, it is an ear of goodness for you that believes in Allah and believes the believers and is a mercy to those who believe among you. And those who abuse the Messenger of Allah, for them is a painful punishment.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, in fact has two stages of treatment. One stage is conversation of the outward and hindering from betraying secrets. And the other is the stage of action. In the first stage, he listens to the statements of people and apparently he does not reject them. But when the time of action comes forth, his attention is only to commandments of Allah and to suggestions which are uttered by the true believers. Thus a leader who tries to find the truth should treat like that. And supplying the interests of a society is not possible save through this way.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
The art of listening. There are many resources on public speaking and there are practical tips on how to become a better speaker. But how do you become a better listener? And why do you want to be one? Habit 5 in the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People by Stephen Covey, states,
Seek first to understand, then to be understood, or listen first, then speak. Covey explains that people often do not listen in a conversation. Instead, they rush to talk and give advice or opinion. The reason is that we relate the information we hear to our own experiences and we do not make a deliberate effort to understand the other side. Nevertheless, active listening and understanding are the keys to effective communication in business and in life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The importance of listening to the Holy Quran and the miracle of listening. The other benefit of listening to the Quran is that it helps us reflect on our whole life and what we need to do to become part of the pack who follow the path of righteousness. Listening to Quran also makes us feel that we have a guardian or a friend who is looking over us, and we won't have to feel lonely because he is always there for us. The most important aspect of listening to the Quran is that it helps us detach ourselves from the worldly gains and helps us focus on the ultimate goal, that is to become a true Muslim and be among the ones from whom the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with and blessed with his mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, when the Quran is read, listen to it with attention and remain silent that you may receive mercy. Verse 204, chapter 7. Words of the Holy Quran act as the best antidote for us to relieve ourselves from the sins that we have committed. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
What do we have for today in the essential qualities part that make excellent listeners? Reflection. Yeah, reflection means paraphrasing what the other person is saying to clarify that you understand. It also allows them to correct you if you've misunderstood something. This is a key part of the communication process and helps to ensure that both parties are on the same page. It's also an effective way to show that you're paying attention and care about the topic. You repeat their words and feelings to them without judging or evaluating. It allows them to clarify what they are saying and shows that you were listening. Think about this phrase, deep pondering upon the message of the Holy Quran. Yes, this is one of the etiquettes in our relationship with this great book. This cannot be overemphasized. We read in Surah Muhammad, verse 24, "Do they not then ponder deeply about the Quran, or are their hearts locked up?" Do they not then ponder? This is a bit different from the issue of seeking refuge from Allah from Satan when reading Quran. Besides seeking this refuge, we need to take the matter further and ponder deeply upon the Quran to absorb its message. One of the scholars beautifully summarize the recitation of the Quran into the following types. Courteous recitation of the Holy Quran, reflective or contemplative recitation of the Holy Quran, passionate recitation of the Holy Quran, which reflects inner love of the reciter. Then we have another step, humble recitation of the Quran, and intuitional recitation of the Holy Quran, where streams of wisdom open for you.
In the marriage, in the family, some partners are not willing to listen. They don't want to listen. One of the things that keeps the family together, keeps the family beautiful and peaceful and healthy and successful, is communication, good communication between the husband and the wife. They understand each other, they relate to each other, they address each other, they listen to each other, they respect each other's opinion. When communication is missing from the family, then the peace is going to be missing. One of the reasons today of the meltdown, the disintegration of families, is the absence of safe and healthy communication. There is no communication between the husband and the wife. They are not willing to sit and speak to each other face to face. When this thing is missing, then they would not find peace and harmony in the family. We have to listen. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam, in one of his sayings, says to his companion, "Allim nafsaka husna al-istima'." Train yourself, teach yourself, sometimes force yourself to listen in a beautiful way, in a good way. Pay attention. Pay attention to the speaker. Nowadays we speak, but we don't pay attention. Next time when you go home, tonight, over dinner, look when you speak to your wife. Your wife is busy with her iPhone, texting someone else, checking her Instagram. Look at what the husband is doing, the same. The son is doing the same, the daughter is doing the same. The whole family are busy checking their social media. They don't pay attention to each other. Communication is missing. They don't relate to each other. And this is the beginning of the conflict. How does the conflict get big and end up in the court? When they don't relate to each other. When they don't understand each other. When they don't listen to each other. But if they listen to each other, then the problems are solved. Husbands and wives should take some time to listen to each other. They have concerns, they have problems, they have challenges. So they have to share it among themselves. If you don't listen at home, you will end up in court. And if you don't listen to your wife, you have to listen to the judge. Believe me. Believe me. You have to go and spend so much money on legal fees. And then you don't listen to your wife, you don't listen to your husband, but then you have to listen to the judge. So it's better listen at home. You don't have to go to the court.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over, so inshallah we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allah Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.